You are now watching episode 43 of Hello Hello Kopi Kopi Hello podcast. Some say Milo, some say Milo. What say you? We have Harvin Skin in the building. Oh yes, the comedian, the entertainer, the actor, the influencer, whatsoever you may call him. Drop some gems and advices on how to make it as an entertainer and a YouTuber. Enjoy this episode, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for tuning in. Follow us on Instagram at Hello Hello Kopi Kumilo if you haven't already, or tune in to Spotify, or perhaps if you want to look for the visuals, go youtube.com/MiloFeeko. MiloFeeko.
This is Hello Hello Kopi Kumilo podcast. Today we have Harvin Skin.
This is a big mic, bro. Heavy, bro. How long is this podcast? I have to carry this thing.
It's like a workout, right?
It's a workout, bro.
For those listeners who don't know who you are, man, would you describe yourself?
How would I describe myself?
Yeah.
Good question. I would say that I am just like everyone out there who is listening, except I am more vocal about the way I am, and I don't mind showing the person that I am in front of camera. The exact same person I am behind camera, I'm in front as well. So
technically, like, your video shows who you really are 24/7. Truman Show.
Yeah.
A little bit like that, right?
I guess it's yeah. in a way who every one of us really are behind the camera, like with our friends. You know, we glug glug, we make fun of each other, we. Yeah. Call each other names, we use bad words, we do all these things.
Yeah.
So I just portray that in front of camera. I'm the voice of the people who, like, kind of are afraid to say the things out loud.
What do you do for a living, man? What do you call yourself, man?
I haven't found the right word yet, but I believe I would call myself an entertainer, because hopefully that is what I want to do. I want to entertain anyone out there who is actually watching my stuff. I want them to be entertained or feel entertained for at least a minute, you know, or however long my duration of the video is.
How do you get started, bro? Like, first of all, how young are you?
25. Not that young.
And like, how did you all get started? Like, which year was your, like, the first year that you remember, okay, I want to start making YouTube videos and try it out? How was your journey like?
I think for real, I started last year when I was 24.
Oh.
My first YouTube video was, I think, 5 years ago.
Okay. This was like before no one ever knows you.
Nobody knew me, and I just made this video called "You Know You're Indian When."
Oh, right.
Because back then it was like a trend to do like 10 types of girlfriends. You know you're Malaysian when.
I made one. Oh, okay.
That was "You Know You're Indian When," and that did very well.
Blew up.
I mean, to me at that point it blew up lah. I think it got about 100k views on YouTube. So that one to me was like, wow, crazy. But the next video I did was a year later, cause I just put that video up for fun, and I was studying at the time also.
What were you studying?
I was doing international business and marketing.
Whereabout?
So I did Taylor's and in Bristol.
Cool.
Bristol Uni, so I did a twinning. So while I was doing that, I had no real, you know, aim to focus on videos. Even back in high school, back in college, I was very loud. I like to do plays. I like to do skits for any of the, you know, events that we had. I like to rap for everyone. So it was just there, but I didn't want to make it a career because my parents told me that you're not going to get money out of it. And I think money is important, lah. I don't know if y'all gonna say that money isn't important, y'all liars. But money is important. So in my head, I also didn't believe that I could make money out of videos. Like, how? So then, I didn't really make videos, but I still wanted to entertain people. So I did these little Snapchat videos, like, of me with an Indian accent. I don't know why. but I just did. And people just, I remember my first Snapchat video series that actually, like, people were like, what the fuck, this is so funny. And, am I allowed to curse in your...
Yeah, but, sure, man.
Okay, shit, fuck, yes. there was this one Miss Universe, and they were just doing the most cringiest things in the world. And I just commented over that with an Indian accent, and everybody loved it. And everybody was like, it was quite mean, lah. Looking back at it, I was like, I'm like making fun of these girls, but it was quite mean. But also, it's what everyone was thinking. So I just said it out. But if that makes me an asshole, then I'm an asshole, lah. But I mean, it's reality. It's like, I keep it real to the extent how much I can keep it real, I'll keep it real. And people love that. So then I don't know why I just continued doing these little Snapchat videos, and then it became videos that I used to reply King Coco with, and then like videos that just I reacted to, like the tourism board logo, the Malaysia Visit 2020. So I did all these things and people just loved it. And then I started making bigger skits, and then that's when I started getting jobs to make videos, and people are gonna pay me for that. I'm like, why you pay me to make a video? I'm just trying to. And then it's like, oh no, put this product in there. I'm like, oh, so I just put this product in there and you give me money. And I'm like, yeah.
Oh,
I'm
shit.
Like, damn, okay. Then that's when I started taking things seriously, and I got a lot of jobs. I got a lot of jobs to MC events. I got a lot of jobs to rap. I got a lot of jobs to just take a damn picture with a thing and you get money. Yeah. Like, that is so unheard of, bro. Like, nobody in our generation... How old are you, bro?
I'm 26.
26, yeah. In our generation, when we were growing up in high school, nobody said, oh, aku nak jadi macam social media celebrity, or like I want to post with a barang and I get money for it. That was unheard of. So like when people are doing it now and it's a legit career business, we are technically marketing for them. So I mean, if that's the way the world is shifting, then we have to shift with the world, lah.
Yeah.
And people think that there's a very bad like connotation or name, or a very, it's like there's no class in being someone who influences other people, but actually that's the way the world is like changing.
It is right now.
Either you go with it or you get left behind. That's about it.
So the moment that you get all these fans, all this attention, followers and viewers, then is that when like Astro came in?
Yes, Astro I think came in sometime last year, early last year.
Well, recently?
Yes, early last year. But by then, I had already kind of established myself and who I was. So I would like to still think that I'm self-made. And even today, it's how I benefit from Astro is they take care of me, lah. They take care of, like, if I need something that I can't do myself, like let's say like I need access to this concert so I can like run up on stage in my underwear, then hopefully they can help me out with things like that, lah. And in turn, every time someone asks me what I do, I say I work for Astro. So like it's like a
win-win,
lah. Okay, hopefully they think it's a win-win, lah.
And then so, and then I also saw the videos that you made with your friends, like the something machas.
Meeting machas, yes.
Right? That one, you guys were friends even before the videos, or you guys decided to collaborate? Everyone was an individual video maker themselves.
So everyone did their own videos, but we were friends as well. So there were, I think, 5 of us. Vikar, he used to make videos, and we just said hi to each other online. And then we were like, hey bro, we should do something together. And then we were like, okay, cool, yeah. Then that's how I knew him. And then there's another dude called Leonard who I knew since I was 14. He doesn't make videos, but I think he's damn funny. Okay. So I said, bro, come on board for this thing. And I was trying to think who else to bring in. Then Vika suggested these two other dudes, and then I just called them up, and then it just worked out.
The best project that you've worked so far, man. Like that you think like you cannot, it's hard to beat that particular project that gives you That memory, you know?
Malaysian Airlines.
Okay.
And they flew me out to Liverpool.
Shit.
To play in the Anfield Stadium with Liverpool legends.
Shit.
So that was, I think, some of that one, I did get money, you know? I did like a lot of things for them, but I didn't want to ask for money. I didn't want to, because at that point, I don't want to lose the job. They were like, hey, do you want to fly to Liverpool and play in the pitch and then like meet the legends and all that? And I was like, damn scared if I say that, oh, usually I charge. Then they say, oh, never mind, we'll find someone else.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, you know what? I don't want to talk about money. Just, you know what? I'll just do it. Fuck it. I'll just do it. So I just did it. But yeah, that experience was absolutely mental. And I think it's an experience that money can't buy. So
you play football?
So I played. Play football.
Training or like?
It was an actual match, bro. Like, there was commentary. All the cameras were there.
Seriously?
But no fans. But it was all recorded. But I was like damn fat at that time. I couldn't run. So
for someone who wants to start making YouTube content, right, at this point in time, 2019, think it's a bit too late, bro?
Nah.
Yeah?
Actually, I'm not the right person to answer it because I don't know when this thing is gonna die.
Oh, right.
Because I wouldn't say it's too late. Just try it out, lah. I mean, there are people who blow up in a week.
Mm.
In 2 weeks. But the hard thing to do is to sustain.
Right.
To sustain in the industry is damn hard. You can have one video that you do that does amazing, blows up, does incredibly well. But what after that? What do you do after that? What do you do next to stay in the game? For people to still know who you are, that's the tough part.
Yeah.
So you need to constantly come up with content. So if someone wants to start now, it can't be just, I made this one video and then what? You need to keep going. You need to make sure that everything is good and proper and you got a big long-term plan, then you go into it.
And then usually you don't really make money from it, right? People have that expectation, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes you won't even have viewers, right? In the beginning.
Yeah, bro. I was lucky in the sense that I didn't blow up immediately.
Yeah. You think so?
Because, and I don't think anyone did. I don't think. Yeah, people would say, you know, you are an overnight success, but at the end of the day, I think they don't see the things that we don't show. It's not so easy to like get to where we are now. It took a lot of days, a lot of months, a lot of years even to build up to this day. So when I made my first video, maybe I got, I don't know, 15 viewers, 15 people, and they were all my friends. And then they were like, oh my god, you're so funny. And then that became 50, that became then 100, 150, 10,000, then a million. So it wasn't like a, but people will only know you for the video that you got a million views for. They're like, hey, this is the dude that did this video. But they don't realize that before that I was doing everything as well. Like, for example, Big Shaq. You know Big Shaq? Yeah. Man's Not Hot. Everyone thought that was where he blew up.
Yeah.
But before that, he was making so many videos. He was like, in the UK, he was making so many skits, but they disregard that and think that, oh, he made that skitty pop-up, and then he blew up. But actually, it's not like that. He was working so hard towards it. So you need to put in the work. In the beginning, there will be no money. There will be no viewers, but you need to be prepared for that. You need to be okay with that. So I'm very lucky in the sense that I didn't realize that I wanted to do this. Only when it started happening, I was like, hey, I can do this. So people who go in with the mindset, oh, I want to make money out of video, I think it's very susa. You cannot have that mentality.
I see. I also realized, like, you, with your content, you like to just do it, right? You have an idea, you just want to do it. No matter how you get the shot, you don't really care, right? It's all about the outcome. Like, you just, if you can get it as soon as possible, the better. That's your approach, right?
I mean, if I have an idea pop out in my head, I usually just say, let's roll, let's be spontaneous. And to me, that is how it gets better. Like, I cannot plan things too much. It doesn't work that way for me. As I do it, then I just like feel like, oh shit, I should do this. In my head, I'm like, I should do this. Then I do it. Then like it turns out okay.
Okay, but then how do you actually fit in with the rest of like probably 80% of the creators out there likes it polished, right? Mm. They want everything to be perfect. You want everything to be planned. Mm. Whereas you like spontaneity. How do you fit in with them in terms of collaboration usually?
I've not collaborated with a lot of people. I think I've collaborated with the Ming thing before.
Okay.
And they know what they want. They invite me to like, hey bro, come on, I need you to play this role. But I think as content creators, right, we don't really limit other people also. Because even though they told me, I want you to play this role, they didn't say you need to do it like this.
Mm.
They never told me that. They just say do it how you would do it. Because at the end of the day, you asked me to be a part of this thing and play a role knowing who I am. Mm. Like, takkan you don't know like who I am and then like you say, come on board, do this, but I want you to do this. So they know like who you are, whether you will fit the role also or not.
Mm.
So if... I mean, I think... Even the Ming thing, they freestyle it. I think I've seen them say that, oh, this part wasn't planned, but it happened this way. So it just, and I think it's a bit more magical when it happens that way because like, it was not planned and it just happens. But
and same goes with Salad Show and all. Salad Show, like Harry Cork. Does the collaboration have like the invitation to collaborate? It goes around the same
manner, but I'll be a bit more specific. The Salad Show, Jeevan, is a very close friend of mine. He knows me, and he always says, "Okay, this is the role, this is the story. You do you.
Okay,
you do it however you want to do it." But with Harry Cork, it's a bit more different. He tells me, "Okay, I want you to be this specific way. I want you to react this way, and I would do so because it's his video.
Mm.
He wants it to be this way.
Mm.
So I will oblige because I need to respect the other person's content creator. I mean, I will do it my way, obviously, the only way that I know that I can do. But I will also say, oh, I feel like it's a bit better if I do it that way.
Mm.
Then we talk about it. That's about it. La.
Cool.
Shit. I mean, he or she, we still don't know who Harry Cork is.
Do you see yourself as a filmmaker, bro? Like, will you be able to or aspire to create your own, make your own films one day? Or?
Man, I hope so. I am in the midst and in the process for the last 2 years. I've been saying this, but I want to make a movie.
Wow.
I want to make a movie of my own and hopefully have it on Netflix or in the cinemas, whichever. La. But I want to say that I've made a movie because to me, that's... like the next step already. I always look at things like, okay, I've done this, I want to do something else now.
Mm.
Like, it started off small. It started off, oh, I want to get a song played on radio. I got a song played on radio, then I don't want to do it anymore, like, because I've done it. Then I want to be on radio. Then I was on radio, then I didn't want to do it. Then I want to be on TV. Then I was on TV, then I didn't want to do it anymore. And then I wanted to, you know, make things online. Now I don't want to just make things online anymore.
Mm.
I want to do something bigger, which is the movie.
Mm.
Like, I want to make a movie now. So, after that, I don't know where to go, la, but but I'll find a way, la, where to go. But hopefully, I can make a movie soon.
What would be the best piece of advice you've ever received in your lifetime, dude?
Never to smoke, I think. I know this is totally not related to, like, my career. But I think it relates to... a bigger thing. I mean, if I keep smoking, then I'll die. But then again, like, so many smokers out there, secondhand smoke, I'll still die. But I think this is one thing my dad told me, like, never to pick up a cigarette. And I think I value that piece of advice more, even though it has nothing to do with my career. But I think don't ever smoke is the best advice I've ever got.
You know, there's a lot of people out there, younger people, some mid-30s, you know, who are stuck in their life. They feel stuck, right?
Yeah.
They don't know what to do with their life. They lost meaning. They lost passion. Yeah. They lost purpose, you know. Like, for you, like, I think you found your passion, your purpose, right?
Mm.
What would your advice be, though? What would your suggestion or advice or ideas for them to actually keep going and keep trying, or to find out who they really are. It may sound so a little bit too deep, but when you feel cluttered, right, you just don't know what to do with your life.
No, true.
So what should you do, man?
This is one of the pieces of advice that I'll give that people are going to think is very harsh, and especially in this day and age where like a lot of things are very sensitive. But it is what it is. What I'm going to say is me keeping it real, and I would say, just pull up your pants, stop crying, stop, wipe your face, and buckle up and do it. Just, there's no two ways about it, because it may be a bit, I don't know. Okay, so me as a content creator, even though I've found my passion, I know what I want to do, I know what my purpose is, I find myself at many times not knowing also. Because you always doubt yourself. You always, especially for people who put themselves out there. Like, I put myself out there, obviously. I'm like, hey, guys, I'm fucking Arvin Skin. I'm making this video for y'all. Nah, take this video. But the amount of hate you get from that as well has to be taken account. There will be people, and I didn't understand DJ Khaled when he told me this, that they will want to bring you down. They will want you to not win. They will want to stop you from, you know, being you. And there are so many haters out there that hate you just because they want to hate you. And just because they feel like they want to bring you down. I don't know whether... I mean, I wouldn't say that it roots from jealousy, but a big part of it roots out of just negative emotions. Like, when someone is trying to make something for others, like, I'm creating content for the other people, for people to laugh, for people to get entertained. But a lot of people will come in and say, why the fuck are you doing this? You're such a loser. You're not funny. You're not funny at all. This is not... Who the fuck do you think you are? So then it makes us content creators actually just question ourselves, like, why actually are we doing this? Like, who are we? Are we actually funny? I'm not funny. Why am I doing this? So there are so many days where I feel like I'm stuck, or I'm like down there, and I go like, maybe this is not for me. Maybe this is not something that I want to do. Maybe I'm not the right person. Am I as funny as, I don't know, Kevin Hart? Am I as funny as, you know, all these other people who have it figured out? But then I stop and think, and I've seen a lot of interviews that are done by Kevin Hart or all these other people, and they feel the same way. They also feel like, why am I receiving it? Why am I not the right person for this? Am I the right person? Am I actually funny? Or am I actually... So it's just, you need to tell yourself that, fuck these other people. This is what I'm made for. This is what I'm born for. You need to find it, and you need to just go for it. And if you don't know what you are meant to do, keep doing things till you find the thing that you're meant to do. Because at the end of the day, my advice is not going to make someone just get up and go. I feel because I don't think I'm that, you know, I'm like, oh, look at Arvin Skin said that, so I need to do it. No, I don't think so. But the only person in your life that can help you is you. And I've always like gone with that, because I don't depend on anyone else. I don't think that anyone else can help me. Like, if I feel bad, I don't go to other people and say, oh, I feel like this, I don't know what to do. It's me who tells me that, just shut the fuck up, get up and go do it. So at the end of the day, if you want to help yourself, it needs to start from you. Then everything else in the universe will help you achieve that.
So you don't necessarily need to find out what it is. Just go for whatever.
Whatever you feel like it.
Yeah.
I believe in the sense where in your head you might not know what it is, but in your heart you kind of know. You kind of have that gut feeling,
the intuition.
And I think as humans, we all know it. Mm. We all know what we are meant to do. We just choose to ignore it sometimes.
Yeah.
But it will keep calling. It will keep being there, and you can't ignore it for like the rest of your life. You need to like, hey, maybe it's this, and then you go with it.
Okay. With fame, right? With people recognizing you in public, right? Mm-hmm. Does that affect you sometimes?
No, I feel great. Yeah? I feel great when someone like comes up to me and says, "Oh my god, I'm a huge fan. I want to take a picture with you."
Do you have like days where you wish that no one recognize you?
There are days, but no, like sometimes I'm very hungover. Those are the days where I feel like I just don't want to. I don't want to meet people because I cannot smile. Because it's not that I don't want to meet you because I don't want to meet you. It's just that I don't want to meet you while I'm like, oh, I'm so tired. I want to meet you when I'm at my best. You know, because you appreciate what I do and I want to appreciate you appreciating me. So that's about it, lah. But I love it when like people come up to me and say that they love my work and they find it so funny, and that just makes my day.
So like, how many years have you been known actually? 2013 onwards? When was that first time that you sort of got recognized or exploded?
I guess like 5 years ago when I did my first video. But as I said, it all happened gradually, so I wouldn't be able to give you a timeline. Like at one point of time, I used to only get recognized maybe once in 6 months. In 6 months, one fellow only will come and say, and then it became like 1 month every time, and then it became 1 week every time, and then like nowadays, every time I go out, like there'll be at least one person who like comes up to me.
Wow.
So it was just a gradual, like, I think God didn't want me to just feel like, oh shit, okay, Harvin, you're there.
Yeah.
He wanted me to work for it, so I had to, a lot of things I had to work for, and I had to, you know, step by step. Do it.
There's not like a culture shock, right? There's
no sudden change.
Feel the gradual. Yeah.
But then again, I also feel like I was, as I said, my gut intuition like told me that this is what you are meant to do, lah. So I always knew that this, I want to entertain, and this is what I'm meant to do. So nothing else is gonna stop me from doing it. And is I can't get culture shock that like people want to love me, or I can't get culture shock that people want to hate me, because that is just the way it is. That is how it's going to be.
If you're not an entertainer, right, what will you be, man?
A doctor.
Doctor, serious?
Because I was meant to do medicine, and I already applied to go do medicine and all that. And just last minute, something just, you know, like happened in my head, and I decided, you know what, I'm not going to do medicine. But my dad still wanted me to do a degree. So that's why I decided to do international business marketing. I think it's one of the easiest degrees out there to actually complete. Seeing as that I could actually make videos while studying. Like, I don't think that's supposed to happen. I think you're supposed to just study when you're meant to study. But I could do both. So I think, yeah, it was a good decision.
So you go to gym a lot, right?
I go to gym a lot, bro.
Do you find that it helps you as a person to stay motivated and all that?
100%. 100%. I think those who actually do go to the gym regularly can relate. They don't feel the same person if they don't go to the gym. Like, and I didn't know this until I started gymming.
Wow.
Like, it's not that I was a shit person before that. It's just that now I'm a better person. I feel like I have to go to the gym because it makes me feel better, and it makes me keep myself in check for the rest of the day or for the rest of the time to be in that same mood, so that I'm able to carry out the rest of my activities in a better manner.
That means like if someone goes to the gym, they can actually stop depression in a way. Like,
oh, I mean, depression is a whole other topic, I feel. Yeah. Depression is like too deep and dark, and I wouldn't know how to stop depression. But if someone is able to go out and work out, I think it's one of the many ways that they can. You know, because they'll meet people at the gym, they can release whatever anger or whatever tension that they have through weights. Yeah, I think it can be one of the ways, I guess. I wouldn't go outright and say, like, if you have depression, go to the gym, it'll solve it. No, I wouldn't say that, but it can.
Like, because there are a lot of people nowadays who are depressed and they talk about suicide. If someone is going through that, right? Mm-hmm. They are going through such, like, I don't know, maybe you would say your first advice was pull out your pants, just suck it up, right? But when you're depressed, you say that, it doesn't really...
Oh, no. You wouldn't say that when when they're depressed, then you don't say that, obviously.
And what would you say to someone who is contemplating to end their life, man?
I don't think I would say anything to them. I think I would mostly have them say things to me. Because at this point, I'm assuming... If you're in that point where you're gonna want to end your life, you won't listen to anyone else. You can't listen to anyone else. That's why you are there. Mm. But you need someone to listen to you. So you need to just listen to them, I feel, listen to what they have to say and hear them out and see what the real problem is. And I guess show them that there are people around them that actually love them, and like the people around them want the best for them, and they just need to be listened to, I feel. Mm. I don't think there's anything to kind of say to them, like, what do you say? Don't kill yourself? Like, you can't say that. That I feel will just make things worse. So you need to listen to them and just be there for them, and I don't know, at that point, get their family involved and get their friends involved and just show all the support that you can show to that friend. The first question you asked me about being stuck and not knowing what to do, I think that's a very different question from this. Mm. This is a whole other, because depression is classified as like a mental illness already. This is where like doctors come into play and like psychiatrists, they all come into play. So this may not, I don't know, may or may not, I won't be an expert in this, but I don't know if this has anything to do with careers and being stuck. I feel like, I think it's deeper than that. It's because being in a depression is like you're in a just fucked up place in life. You're just like, it's not just you don't know what to do with your life. It's like nothing, you feel like everything is against you. I feel like the world is against you, like nobody wants you, and like your friends are against you, your family is against you. So I feel like the first step would be to like show them that it's not that way. It's people do love you and people do care for you. I think that to feel like you need to love yourself as well. So I think it's bigger than just not knowing what to do in your life in terms of career. I think it's a lot of other factors that come along with depression, I think. Find someone who wants to listen and be, and you know, if you have friends that are going through depression, you need to be that friend. You need to fucking step up and be that friend who's going to be ready to listen and just show them that they're being loved and they are cared for.
What's your greatest inspiration,
man? A very big inspiration would be Kevin Hart. A very good example, because I want to do live stand-up comedy shows, and I also want to be in movies and all that. Kevin Hart is a huge inspiration. Childish Gambino is a huge inspiration, because he has done everything. He's done comedy, he's done music, he's done movies. Who else? I would say Kanye West, because he is who he is. And he's not afraid to show that. And he really does think out of the box. He really is someone who thinks out of the box, because I don't know if you knew the situation of him wearing on that Make America Great Again hat. And he said this point that I wore that hat just to take the power out of it.
Shit.
Do you understand? Yeah. I'm like, wow. I wore that hat to take the power out of it. And to show that we are all one, we are all equal. And that just blew my mind. I'm like, this guy is in another level, and people still give him shit for it because people don't understand. They cannot think that way. They are not in that level. They can't comprehend what the fuck does he mean? He's taking the power out of the head. Like, what is? I mean, he took the damn power out of the head, which is, I feel, crazy. So he's another huge inspiration as well. So I would say top three, these three people.
If you could collaborate with any successful creators in Malaysia or overseas, who would it be?
Successful creators in Malaysia. I really like Lukman Podolsky, man. I think he's funny. Like, his shit was next level. So, I also would like to collaborate with King Coco. I think she's hilarious. She's so funny. Other than that, I think the main thing was another bunch of people that I wanted to collaborate with, and I already have. So, but maybe in a bigger project, perhaps.
If you could have a cup of coffee with any dead musician from the past, who would that be, man?
Dead musician, huh?
Yeah.
I feel like Michael Jackson, just because of the sheer madness that he was. Like, he had a mad fan base. So just to have a drink with him would be interesting, I think.
What kind of conversation would you have?
First conversation would be like, did you touch the children or not? Because he had this whole scandal where he was a child molester. I would want to know. So I'd be like, did you really, Michael? Did you? I mean, I don't think you did, but did you really? And also, I feel like, how did it feel to just be a Michael Jackson? Because I don't know, he went through a lot in his life, lah. His apparent illness for his skin color change, and whether he did it himself or, like, I don't know. Just to figure out his mind. Not to, like, judge or anything, but just to understand, like what Michael Jackson was going through.
This is where I flip the script, man, and let you ask me any question that goes through your mind.
That's going through my mind, huh?
Yeah.
Do you know anyone who's going through depression? Or are you yourself going through depression?
I went through depression before.
Okay.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people, though, actually, whether or not, a lot of people tend to discuss it with me.
Yeah.
But also a lot I can see symptoms of, but they're trying to hide it. You know?
Right.
Most of people are not really open about it because they're afraid of being judged, right?
Okay.
But when I was going through depression, man, it wasn't easy. You know, the thought of, it's not the thought of suicide, I'm not to that extent, but it's like you don't want to be part of anything.
Yeah,
you know, you're okay, you're just being a hermit.
Yeah
So it's like, it's nothing dark, but apparently it's depression, you know, when you don't want to be part of everyone, when you don't want to
the symptoms are okay.
And then you just need to exercise, keep yourself hydrated, keep your social circle, socialize, I think, and then find a purpose. Like you said, follow your intuition, right? You already sort of know what you want. You just have to do it and slowly improve, right?
Yep. That's good, man. I'm glad that you are out of that. Because I myself, my social circle quite tight, and I don't get too close with people. So it's a bit hard to judge for me for the outside.
Touch wood, bro. 2019 was your last year to leave, right?
Yeah.
What were your top three things that you want to get done?
I think I want to skydive. That would be the last thing. That's how I die. Skydive. That would be the reason why 2019 will be the last year. Because I have a fear of heights, and I think I want to conquer that by skydiving. I wanna do a live show.
Live show means music.
Comedy, music.
Comedy, okay.
But just the biggest live show that I could possibly do. Maybe I can use the fact that I'm dying, and say, "Hey guys, my last fucking show ever. I'm gonna die. Please come." I think I want to make my family proud. I think they're proud of me. That's the thing. I think they're proud of me, but I wanna you know, do something so that they come up to me and say that, "Harvin, very proud of you." that you've done this, like the whole family. Mm. So I think that's...
What with that one thing, though?
I think that's the concert.
The concert.
I think it's all related. I do the concert, they'll come see, I'm proud that I do the skydiving. And then I die.
Okay. Before I go to the last question, right? Why should people watch your content, man? Why and what kind of value do you think you can provide them for people who never heard of you?
I feel like my content is I would say different somewhat, especially in the Malaysian scene, because I take risks and I wouldn't say that you will find it funny, because humor is very different for everyone. Mm. So what I put out, I somewhat find funny, and hopefully other people out there find funny. So I wouldn't say that you need to come watch this because I'm funny, because I may not be funny to some people. But if you guys realize it or not, a lot of my skits or whatever have an underlying meaning to it. It is not just the topical joke that I make, but the inside meaning of why I'm making it or why I'm making fun of this thing is deeper than what it seems.
Yeah.
And that's for you to like just
find out.
But if you can't see it, you can't see it. That means it's not meant for you to see it. It's not.
Wow.
Is
so it's always, that's the formula.
I wouldn't say always, but mostly. Like, I don't know. It's because I feel like jokes have the power to send a message across in a way that people don't get offended.
Mm.
And also in a way that people will get very offended. It's either or. There's nothing in between.
Mm.
It's either this joke offends you so much or it doesn't at all. So I feel like jokes are one of the way where... Let's say you joke about drugs or alcohol. Okay, you joke about it and you put it in a skit where, oh, this guy alcoholic. But underlying meaning, if you think about it, wow, this is not funny.
Mm.
This is actually, there's something to it.
Mm.
You know, or if someone says... Take, for example, depression. Someone says, oh, I feel so happy when my friends cancel my plans.
Mm.
It's funny, but if you think about it, it's not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there's a very fine underlying message to a lot of things that I do. And if you get it, you get it. Like, if you can analyze it, you analyze it. So that's something that I think I like about my shit that I do.
Mm. For young students out there, right, who's yeah, 16, 17, who's trying to actually go into life, lah, you know, go into adulthood, and they don't know what to do with how to choose their career path, and their parents keep telling them what to do this, do that, and they want to create videos, they want to create content, they want to be a star, you know, everyone has that idea now, because you're already doing it, everything has been said and done, and what would your advice be for, let's say, these people who looks up to you, you know, and maybe one or two or three pieces of advice for them?
First off,
yeah,
I think... give your parents a chance. Listen to what they have to say. They might not be right all the time, but they want what's best for you. So you need to give them a chance and listen to them. That's the first piece of advice. Second, know what you want. As in, sit down, figure out your life. Give it time. It's not going to come like immediately. Like venture into... I don't know. I think it's a very Western thing. But Westerners, they take one gap year or like 1 year just to travel, just to figure out themselves, just to see what they want to do and all that. You could do that. It's not a waste of time. And if you want to be a star, don't let anything else in the world stop you from being a star. Because a lot of stars were born not from, you know, chance or luck or... anything like that. They knew they were meant to be a star.
Mm.
So they went on to become a star.
Do you have everything figured out at a certain age?
No.
Or by 30, do we have to be okay with things in life?
No. Not at all, I think. I think even at 30 or 35 or 40, there are people who just decide, shit, this is not for me. This is not what I want to do. And then they just...
So you guys just try everything. Just
they just a lot of people just quit what they have to do, and then they just, you know, move on to something else, and they become the happiest people in the world. So
so it's okay to just change your plan. Change,
yeah, man.
Move on to something else.
Move on to something else. Do it.
Yeah,
I think it'll work.
Okay, the last question. How do you want the world to remember Harbin's keenness at the end of the day?
How do I want people to remember me? Hopefully, hopefully when I'm done doing whatever I want to do, they remember me as someone who is very entertaining. Someone who, you know, just wanted to make a crowd laugh. And someone who did and said everything that he felt. Basic, very basic.
Cool, man. Thank you so much for being part of Hello Hello Kopi Ke Milo podcast, bro.
Bro, thank you for having me, man.
So Kopi Ke Milo, bro.
Kopi Ke Milo. What is this? Kopi Ke Milo. Milo. And also, it's not Milo, it's Milo.
Yeah, Milo. Thanks, dude.
Thanks, all buddy.
Hello Hello Kopi Ke Milo podcast. Milo Fico, signing out.